Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 4 of Good Areas Knockout. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. With us today is someone who you've seen before on the Footmarks, our colleague Shayan Ahmed Khan, who you can find at Tweets by Shayan on Twitter. And then, of course, we've got Jared, as always, you can find literally everywhere. And Varun, who is the game master at Good Areas Knockout, who you can find literally nowhere. And just like a quick reminder to all of you guys, Jared's book, The Art of Batting, is releasing in a bookstore near you, hopefully on the 8th of May. And in the spirit of The Art of Batting, this episode of Good Areas Knockout will be kind of centered around the GOAT test batter. So we will be eliminating 63 of the best test batters ever to come up with a GOAT. Varun, Jared, all of you guys, Shayan, how do you feel about this?
Jared, it's your book, so.
No, I'm excited to talk about this. And I'm actually, for those who don't know, I don't know if we ever gave you an official title. Shayan asked for a real title and I never came up with a good one for it. But let's call him head researcher on this book is maybe the best way of putting it. So Shayan was really involved in this until we got to the list where I just said, fuck off, stop trying to tell me where to put players, right? Up until that point, So he's probably, I would say he was the most involved with the research of the book, the numbers and everything else. So I don't know what his final list is. In fact, maybe one day we have to get Shayan on. Maybe part of the promotion for Art of Batting will be him telling me what I got wrong, according to him. But that's the one thing I don't know. I know roughly what his final list is, but I think what he was doing was making a list based on mine. I think if you ask Shayan from scratch, he would come up with a slightly different list all the way through. So I'm fascinated to know what he thinks of all these players that that he's been researching for ages. And also, it was so good that he became such a nerd during this book on like old historical players that he had no interest in before. So he's going to be nerding out on older players. Shayan, you don't even have a copy of the book yet, do you?
Yeah, not yet. But soon.
So he hasn't even read the final draft. I think he fed like, I think you, oh, actually, no, you might have read like the four.
I might have read like 4 or 5 drafts, but I don't know if that's the final one.
Yeah. I don't even know what the final draft is. In fact, one of the reasons I got the book just now was not just to sell it, it's to remember what the order is.
So basically, you and Shayan, Jared, have an advantage over here. You know all the right answers, and Varun has all the information, and he's not even playing. So I'm at a disadvantage then.
So I was just about to say, like, I did the order, but I honestly don't know who's good at what.
Yeah. Like, I have seen the list, though, plenty of times. You know, the Excel file that was, you know, kind of bounced around. So I do have somewhat of an idea. And yeah, we're not allowed
But Behram, you're assuming at this point, right, that the list is right.
Yeah.
True. Also, the other variable you're forgetting is I chose 14 of these batters.
Oh, yeah. So it's exactly. 50 plus 14. Exactly.
Yeah. Zero faith in the 14 batters I chose.
let's just kick this off, guys. Yeah. Also, the names that we will be writing down will be the names of who we want to go further. That's how this works.
Exactly. So, yes.
Okay. Round one. Nervous.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
So, again, we have Virat Kohli versus Hanif Muhammad.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah, just write down. I'll tell you when to put the answer up.
It's a tough one for Hanif because I feel like he would have beaten a few people. But
yeah, Sean, you put your answer if you're ready.
Yeah.
Sorry, one second, everyone. I had this like fancy tablet thing that I was going to be writing on, and of course, it has not worked. So it's okay. I'll come back. Yeah, let me just go back to a whiteboard.
Oh, we should be putting it over here, centered, right?
I can't see it, Jared.
Can't see
You can't
anything,
actually
Jared.
See it on the whiteboard.
Yeah. No.
Wait a minute.
Do you have your phone
get
with you?
Bigger? No. Well, I could do it on paper, but we're trying to save the environment here.
Yeah, that's what I said. Do you have your phone with you?
Oh, there we go. Okay. Yeah, I just need a bigger pen. Just need a bigger pen.
Yep. Hanif Muhammad has been eliminated.
Say, like, yeah. The Good Areas fans think we hate Virat, so like a few good words on him just to save our faces.
I mean, when we were making the book... I reckon I was contacted 50 times by people going, your book will be terrible if Virat Kohli is in the book. And I remember even Shyam being like, should we just put him lower? And I was like, no, look at his peak. Who peaks like that? Like, if he just played the seven years with a little bit of being a good young player and the one freak year in 2014 or 2013, whenever it was, when he was good as well. That's like way better than other great players' careers. And Hanif Mohamed was a really, really good player. But we did go through his record quite carefully. I think you can tell here, neither me nor Cheyenne really rated him in the upper echelon. But he has played two of the greatest innings of all time as well, which I think also does play a part in that, right?
Yeah, the original Little Master, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, he is the original Little Master. But Varun, I think you did a good job including him in your 14, I suppose.
Yeah, actually, true.
He still has the longest innings of all time, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
Did he make 334, didn't he?
Something like that, yeah.
About 75 days?
Yeah. And wasn't he run out going for the 500th run?
Yes.
Oh, is that Hanif as well?
Oh no, that was in first class cricket, right?
Yeah, that was first class.
But I'm saying,
like,
those are two. Yeah, 499,
right? Yeah, 499 and 334. Yeah.
Now, remarkable player, but not as good as Virat Kohli.
Also, unfortunate to draw Virat so early, right? Anyway, let's move on.
I believe these two are both left-handed batters, I say nervously. Okay. David Gawar and Neil Harvey.
Oh, yeah.
I've just spent enough time with Jared to know what the right answer is over here. I actually don't know much about this guy, but I've gone for Neil Harvey.
All I know about him, David Gawar, is he was elegant. That's all I know about him. Lazy elegance.
The amount of times he gets a mention on Good Areas is insane. It's him, Keith Miller, Victor Trumper. Those guys just get mentioned a lot.
So you guys won't know this. Also, we have to remember to put the things in front of our faces.
Yes.
Because that's the bit that's going to be on the podcast. I think I just did mine on the side as well. I was actually with David Gower last night, by the way, which is the weirdest thing to say. I mean, other than nodding at each other, we didn't really have a chat. But Neil Harvey, when I started the blog, was famous in Australian cricket for basically moaning about how the Australian team wasn't as good as his team. Right. And so as a joke, I kind of casually put on the blog, cricket blogs were better in my day, Neil Harvey. Right. And that became such a big thing that like so many people, like I didn't realize I thought me and my friends knew about this, but apparently everyone was like obsessed with the fact that Neil Harvey became, and we're talking, the team he's moaning about is like literally the best or second best team in the history of the game. Right. And he's literally moaning about like Brett Lee and Shane Warne and Adam Gilchrist going, yeah, well, they're no Sam Loxton. Right. and someone
was he like the OG nostalgia merchant?
Yeah. Yeah. He was, but think of it would be like Gavaskar going, Virat's good and Sachin are good, but I was this much better than everyone else. Like, not just, like, it just doesn't make any sense. And he would do it over and over again. But we had a t-shirt and it was, and had the Cricket with Balls logo on it. And then it had Cricket Blogs Are Better in My Day, Neil Harvey. And someone went up to him and he signed the t-shirt. But he did say that he thought a blog was a kind of boot. Neil Harvey was magnificent. But just on David Gower, I'd be interesting to know how Cheyenne feels about this. We really had David Gower much higher than I think most people would. When we went through his record kind of piece by piece, he was really close to the top 50. I didn't quite squeeze him in the end, but I didn't expect him to be anywhere near the list. And
Because his raw average isn't that high, right? But like I think on match factor and the advanced stats, when we look at it in more depth, he's a pretty good batter and he was in with a clear shout for top 50. He didn't make the list, but like he was close.
I think one of the things we found was just how good he was against the West Indies in the West Indies.
Exactly, yeah.
He had a ridiculous record.
He's known to be an elegant batter, but I remember Jared we were doing this Crick Picks once of best batters to average below 50, and I think he made the list, right?
He was batting at the wrong position most of his career. Like it's either like he should be batting lower or not higher, one of the two.
English cricket was a mess when David Gower played. Yeah, right. Like if he played in a more sensible time, I think he would have been a much better player.
Yeah, they were dog shit.
Because
they
would keep changing the batting positions for like the batters, right? Like we kept seeing this pattern where a batter would bat at 4 or 5 or 6 and like that would keep shuffling around. Like it wasn't not so defined. Like the tyranny of the batting order. That thing was there.
And like, again, not sensible shuffling either. It's not like they were using matchups. Which is why
sensible shuffling or not, he's gone. David Gower has been eliminated. Let's move on.
Yeah, you actually mentioned the next matchup, actually. Victor Trumper versus Clyde Walcott.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. Damn, I don't even know what I should say, though.
Like, the actual inventor of attacking cricket did not make the list because he does not deserve to be compared to these simpletons. Ben Duckett is much better than everyone else here. I'll be in agreement.
Ben Duckett inspired Victor Trumper.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, are we ready? Let's see what Cheyenne's got.
I'm very interested in Cheyenne on this one, actually.
Although it won't make a difference. It is redundant because Jared and I have sent the same person through. Okay. Trump. All right.
I always knew Cheyenne was a Trump man.
Yeah, yeah. Now we know his political leanings.
I think, and Cheyenne, again, I think it's interesting on this. I think our list is going to have, it was Walcott or Weeks we were doing now. Walcott, wasn't it? I was like, there's too many W's. I think our list is going to have Walcott a lot lower than people traditionally would have with this kind of list. And I don't think me and Cheyenne would ever say he's not a great batter, but his record is a bit more paper thin when you start to go through it and you realize it doesn't pop as much as you think it would. Whereas with Trumper, what would Trumper's average be in modern cricket, Cheyenne, if you did for inflation? It's probably high 40s, maybe.
Yeah, and it has to be in the mid-40s at least, I think. 45, 44-ish. But with maybe the high strike 46, rate, right? 47. That's the differentiator.
Wasn't it like 46, 47 without his opening anyway, right? Or was it in the 40s?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it took 80 years for cricket to have another player to bat as quickly as he did, right? Like, and so I think Walcott was fantastic. But I just think that... And also, Walcott had to keep at times in his career as well. But yeah, I just think Trumper was the more dynamic player.
Well, we all know so much about him because of you. But let's move on, Jared. Sorry, Varun.
Yeah, again, you guys keep mentioning the next matchups, right? So Sunil Gavaskar versus Ranjit Singhji.
Ooh. Oh. Okay, so thus far, there has been no split. It's been unanimous all the way through. I don't expect there to be a split on this one either. I feel like this will be unanimous.
Yeah, go on. Yep. Singhji goes through.
Sunny G
other
is
than
true.
The fact that the Ranji Trophy is named after him, I don't know much about him. So, Jared, please, if you can.
He's the player in the book that has the fewest amount of test matches. And one of the reasons that we allowed for him to come in was partly because his first-class record. I think he averages high 50s in, over 50 in first-class cricket as well. So it wasn't like he just played a couple of test matches and did very well. But the other thing was, he wasn't picked for every test, Varun. Because in those days, you picked the individual selectors of each place picked the tests. And in England, who he was playing for, not everyone was, let's say, open-minded, let's say woke enough to pick a non-white man to play for England. So despite the fact that he had the best test average that anyone had ever had, he didn't actually get picked for every game. But if you go through his record, I think he's just fantastic. He opened up the leg side with the leg glance as well.
Yeah.
He was also one of the first cases of like coaching really being a big part. But he's just going up against someone who's better here. I mean, you've done him a bit dirty, I think.
He didn't quite have that same sort of high elbow as Sunny G, eh?
Yeah.
But anyway, what I'm surprised with over here is that this is not chaotic at all. We've gone through four people. It's all been very unanimous. And Varun, like, what are you doing, man? You're supposed to make it chaotic.
It will get chaotic at some point. I can't remember what point, but yes. So the next one is Garfield Sobers versus Herbert Sutcliffe.
Ooh, which Sutcliffe is this? Which
I don't know who these batters are, Jared.
No, there's Herbert so many Sutcliffes. They're two Herbert
Sutcliffes. Sutcliffe is the English opener who averages, 58, 59, Byron?
I don't know, Jared. I know nothing about this list.
I actually know more about the other
in front of you.
Huh? I know more about Bert Sutcliffe from New Zealand because of Jared's other book, Overthrowing Cricket's Empire.
I think I should be able to find this 1 second.
This is two batters who regularly get listed in the top 10 of all time, and Varun's just casually put them in to the first round. Yeah. And
I think we have a unanimous answer.
Yeah. All right.
Sober.
Okay.
Sutcliffe eliminated unanimously.
That's the first player who absolutely should have been in the second round. He has been done dirty by the system there. I wondered where Cheyenne might go with that. I felt like when I pushed Sobers up the list, because our original numbers didn't love him, Cheyenne, and I pushed him up the list, and I wasn't sure how much of a Sobers guy you were until this very moment.
No. After reading your piece, you've actually planned to do a piece on him as well. So
we've got to be featuring him.
Oh yeah,
I really think that He's among the greatest batters of all time. He's among the greatest. He is possibly the second greatest cricketer ever, right? With a case to be the first. But even if we keep that aside, just his batting, I feel like he makes it because he's also really good strike rate wise. He was really good for his era. And not just for his era, he's among the quickest batters, even in general. So,
Jared,
factoring that in, I would go for him.
Ross Taylor couldn't see at night or when the clouds were in. Eventually, he had to see an eye specialist who would fix his eyesight. In the 2 years before the change, he still averaged more than 50 in international cricket. The top level of batting talent can basically see in the dark. That is who we are talking about in our new book, The Art of Batting. Head over and order your copy today.
Was Herbert Sutcliffe better than Len Hutton?
No.
No.
Okay, yeah.
Fine. I think Herbert Sutcliffe was great. And he's been done dirty by Varun's list here.
Yeah.
But he always does. Herbert Sutcliffe is the Rohit Sharma of this episode.
Basically. I think both of those players.
Almost like I was really tempted to have Rohit in here just to put him against Bradman, just for the gags.
I think it's probably he's probably top 10, top 15 ish of all time. Yeah. Is probably where I would put him. But Sobers is just higher.
Yeah, fair. Okay.
All right, so the next one is another W from the West Indies. Frank Worrell versus Ricky Ponting.
Okay. I think we might... No, actually, we won't get a split. It's going to be unanimous again. I think so.
This would be weird if it was a split, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
RP Singh! Cheyenne.
I'm just trying to write whatever.
Yeah, no, it's fair. I know that you're doing this on your phone, so you have to go with the acronyms.
Flow.
I think Worrell is massively underrated. It's something that we covered in this book. I think me and Sean, by the end of this book, we're very high up on Worrell's batting.
Exactly.
But Ponting is tiers ahead of him, I think, in a list like this.
Like Ponting's peak is possibly top 10 of all time. Probably you can even say, you can even make a case for top 5 of all time, I think. When we did that Ponting versus Kohli piece, it has to be in like the top 5 or the top 10 peaks of all time, isn't it?
Yeah, even his raw numbers.
We forgot to mention
his raw numbers are insane.
His raw numbers are insane. That also because he played in that era. But even if we keep that aside, he was brilliant against pace bowling. One of the greatest players of pure fast bowling. And then apart from
one of the greatest pullers of the ball ever.
He was really good against spin in Asia too. Apart from India, where Harbhajan Singh got him out a lot of times.
Yeah.
He actually wasn't a bad player of spin either.
We should be talking about Worrell because he's the one who's going out.
Yeah, punter's gone through.
Remember, we can talk about punter when we flick him off later.
Yeah.
I think the thing with Worrell is that it was a really even record. So a lot of those West Indians had higher batting averages than him, but it's based on one or two big series. Yeah, whereas him home and away and everywhere, right? Against the best bowlers, against the worst bowlers. He was always really good. As I said, very underrated. He's underrated as a batter because he was such a great leader.
Right? Exactly.
And he's not the only great batter that has happened to before.
All right.
He played in a team where people made a lot of runs.
So the thing with him was that he didn't bat in any position more than 23 times. So, like, you don't recognize him with one batting position as such, right? So that also plays a part in this, I think.
Fair enough. Okay.
All right.
What's the next matchup, Varun?
So this is the man that's currently doing Vaibhav Suryavanshi's homework, Rahul Dravid, versus Don Bradman.
What? Wow. No,
why would you do that?
This is so unfair. What beef do you have with Dravid, dude? One of the nicest guys. Such like a strong cricketing brain. And you've literally knocked him out in the first round.
See, you guys don't misunderstand knockouts. I'm the agent of chaos here. That's my job.
Yes.
So it's very important that you understand what you've done here. One day... When Raul wants to find a podcast partner, someone's going to send him this link, right? And he's going to be like, "I thought Jared was my friend." No, to be fair, I'm pretty sure Raul Dravid would be the first person to say that Bradman was better than him. When I told Raul, I said, "I really want to talk to you for this book." I said, "I've got you in the top 50 of all time," you know, and he's like, "Really?" Sometimes when I talk to him, I don't think he realizes he's Raul Dravid. Look, I think obviously a great player. There are holes within his record in some ways, but he had that late renaissance as well and his ability to make runs in many different places. And he had a brilliant peak as well. And he has a brilliant peak, but he's probably better on either side of his peak compared to someone like Ponting, who was almost just a peak player.
Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I think there's a spin we've ever seen, right?
Yeah. But even that aside, England and New Zealand, he might be the best Indian batter combined in England and New Zealand, I would think.
Two tours that come to mind. One is that late career tour to England, in which India lost, but Dravid was insane. And then also back in, you know, the early 2000s or mid 2000s when India was in Pakistan, Dravid was the guy, right? Like you'd get Sachin out, you'd get Lakshman out and Saurav, but Dravid would torment Pakistan. So I rate him very highly, but unfortunately Varun has just drawn him with the dawn. So he's done.
Bad luck.
Rahul Dravid is history in this podcast. Next, if we ever do this again,
if we ever do this again, Varun, tell me beforehand who you're going to draw with the Don, and it'll be someone I don't like.
I probably should have put this guy against the Don, then Jeff Boycott versus Vijay Hazare.
Of course you should have.
Oh.
Okay. Jared is confused, which tells me that we might get our first split. Because it's all been unanimous. It might still be unanimous. It depends on Cheyenne now. Nope.
Oh.
It is still unanimous.
Again, I don't know much about Vijay Hazare, but I'm like, if India named a trophy after him, it's probably good.
Exactly. No, but Jeffrey Boycott goes through. Vijay Hazare is out. And
No, I thought he was a fantastic player. How many tests did he play? Does anyone remember? It's not a lot,
is it? It's like 14 or 15, I think.
Yeah, and his record actually holds up really nicely. And I remember...
Oh, sorry, way more
this
than
is how deep...
52 innings.
He's played around 30 tests, I think. Yeah. Vijay Merchant has played around 14 and 15 games.
No, that's what I was confused,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, the two VJs. So neither of them made the book. Vijay Hazare, I thought, had the record to be able to do it. But when I went through, it just... I just wasn't 100% sold all the way through on his record, partly because he averages 36 away from home and he averaged 70 at home. And I excluded a lot of Australians for the same stats, right, for that same split. And so I thought it was a bit unfair. I think he did do some stuff. He actually made runs in England, right? And so
he had that one innings in Australia as well, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he makes 200s in Australia.
Yeah,
right?
In Adelaide, 1948.
Yeah, but he went to the West Indies and averaged 19.
Yeah, I think that is what pulls his record down a bit.
Yeah,
and he also averaged above 17 first-class cricket.
Yeah, I think he's very unlucky to miss out, and I think he's a fantastic player. Boycott is underrated because of who he is as a human.
Yeah.
Right? You know, talking himself up and the comment saying the same thing on commentary all the time, the blackface, you know, the you know, domestic assault, all those different things, the night asking for a knighthood and all that sort of stuff. I should say he didn't actually go in blackface, but he said that if he'd gone in blackface, he would have got a knighthood sooner. Like just dickish things like that. I think bring him down purely as a batter. It's really hard to find an issue with him. And when we went through, like, some of the things with Boycott are, like, how well he plays pace, high-end pace, and whether he ducked it. There's no evidence of that. That's just Tony Gregg not liking Boycott, which is very fair to not like Boycott. I think if you were going on pure talent, I don't think there's much between these two batters, though.
Yeah.
I think they, purely on talent, I think they would be very close.
Agreed.
Interesting.
Absolutely. Because I think purely on talent, Vijay Hazare would be one of the greatest Indian batters, wouldn't he? Like, if we listen to Sunil Gavaskar talk about him or any of the older players talk about him, I'm pretty sure he would be among, like, right up there. I think Sachin Tendulkar, Sunil Gavaskar, and Vijay Hazare, like, I think that might be the tier one purely on talent in Indian cricket when it comes to batting, I think.
Well, then I actually wonder where, if he played 50 tests, I think we just would have known a little bit more about him.
Exactly.
You know, but... The West Indies thing is so brutal that I'm like, it just made me doubt him a little bit more than I should have. But definitely one of the greatest batters of all time. I think, Cheyenne, how many great batters would you say there are? About 70? 75?
Yeah, around that much, definitely. Yeah. Around 75.
That's where we came at. And so he's definitely strongly in that list.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Okay.
The next one is Stevie Smith versus Wally Hammond.
Ooh.
Jeez, that's a nice one.
All right. So again, like, I suppose we'll all be unanimous over here, but Wally was a really good cricketer, wasn't he?
He's very unlucky. He's very unlucky again. Look, Wally Hammond, the thing with Wally Hammond is, and I think we did this for the book as well when we were looking at his record, is because he dominated New Zealand so much, Wally Hammond, and he averaged like 200 or something in a series against New Zealand, that yeah. I think he was remembered as, you're never going to believe this, guys, a stat padder. You guys, you modern internet people think that you've come up with that term. Go back and read about Wally Hammond. People were, they never used those actual terms, but that's essentially what they said.
Nice. Match factor 1.53.
Yeah, I remember taking Hammond's record against New Zealand out, and it's like, he's still one of the greatest batters of all time without yeah. that series against New Zealand. Now, the team he played against New Zealand. Yeah. And also, he was a hard-hitting player at a time where there weren't a lot of hard-hitting players. Like, he probably played a lot more like Clive Lloyd or Matt Hayden or those kinds of players in a period where we didn't have them. The other thing that is used against him, which is he didn't like the fast short ball. And I think that's actually fair with him. But he's still one of the greatest batters of all time. And he's been done a little bit dirty in this first round. This is... I can't tell if Varun is just pretending not to know anything or if he's just doing this.
I know of Wally Hammond, but I don't really know how good he was.
So I'll pose an interesting question to Jared. Wally Hammond in the fourth innings or Smudger in the fourth innings?
I would have assumed Wally Hammond in the fourth innings, but I don't know. Yeah. Now you're asking me to remember his stats completely off the top of my head. I'm going to look it up now. Now that you said that, in the fourth innings, geez, he averaged 46 in the fourth innings.
Holy shit!
He's pretty good. He's a pretty good player. Versus New Zealand, just to tell you, this is one of the things, as I said, that is held against him. He played 9 matches and he averaged 112 with 400s. He made 400s in 9 matches with a top score of 336. And in that series in New Zealand, I was wrong. I think I said his average was 200. Yeah. In that series, his average was 300. 3 test series. Wow.
Match from 9.65 that series, by the way.
He really did. He really was a consistent scorer over a long period of time. A very, very good player. If I remember correctly, Bayram, and I know that you'll like this, pretty sure he had syphilis.
Oh, did he? I did not know about that.
Why would Bayram like
there
this?
There you go.
I don't know why I would like Bayram, it, but I do remember
Bayram
this. Bayram
loves stories about cricketers getting their dick out, and that's what happened. He got his dick out a bit too much, Hammond.
Yeah, I just
wouldn't it be more putting dick in.
That's also fair. But the book that I gifted Eek had Hammond in it, so I did know about him as a young kid. You wrote Smudge. I wrote Smudger. Cheyenne wrote SPD. The fuck is SPD?
SPD Smith.
Yeah, Stephen Peter Devereux.
Okay. His initials. Got it.
Whenever I read SPD, I think of Power Rangers every single time.
Exactly.
The theme song just plays.
But now
in
it's associated with Steve Smith.
No, it's still associated with Power Rangers. That's why I always read SPD Smith. That's one of my favorite.
We haven't talked about this much, but the combination of like the old scorecards having all the initials of all the fancy players in them, right? And AB de Villiers basically being initials. Right, has actually completely ruined cricket because all you ever get now is initials of like every second player, and it takes about 20 minutes to work out who someone is talking about when they send you a message these days. I remember the first time I saw SPD and I was like, who the fuck is this person talking about?
Okay, well, now I'll know. Anyway, all right.
So
let's move on.
This one is a bit of an easier matchup, I'd say. Mahela Jayawardena versus Usman Khawaja.
Oh, so you have these two going up against each other and Herbert Sutcliffe and Wally Hammond and all those guys are already out. Rahul Dravid is out.
Yeah, obviously, man.
I think we're about to have our first split.
Oh!
We do not have our first split.
Oh, Mahela goes through.
Yeah, Mahela is a unanimous pick.
Yeah, Uzi was someone I just added because I couldn't think of anyone else.
I thought Jared might go Uzi because he hates Mahela's away record.
I do. I think Sean, do you remember? I think it was late on because we both just kind of assumed that Khawaja would eventually stop making runs and that we didn't have to worry about him. And he just kept making runs. And I remember Sean sending me a message going, do we have to actually like worry about him making the top 50? Because we started with like Manas and Baba, right? And by the time we got into the first research stage, they were both gone, right? And Uzi wasn't even in the first research stage. And by the time we got into like the first draft, we were like, oh shit. But I think he's a little bit short of that level of player, partly because during his career, he averaged like 35 one year, like when he was like 28, 29 in first class cricket. I don't think you can compare that to the greatest players of all time. Mahela had to, it didn't matter what Mahela's form was, he had to play test cricket for Sri Lanka, right? And I just think that you have to honor that a little bit, especially with those players from the weaker countries who like maybe played a little bit earlier than they should have, maybe played a little bit later than they should have. Usman Khawaja's numbers are going to look better than other players, partly because in his, most of his 20s, when he wasn't batting well, he didn't have to be in the side.
Yeah, true. That's very common with a lot of Aussie batters, right?
That's a very valid point, actually. Yeah. Because Mahela, even if he's out of form, he's still playing for Sri Lanka.
Exactly. Uzi doesn't have a choice, does he?
Yeah.
Yep.
He has like 9,000 runs just in Asia. So that's like more than the full career of so many players.
He was my number one pick in Crick Picks where we did batters who averaged below 50. And Estelle and Jared completely like obliterated me on the show for picking Mahela as number one pick.
So what Cheyenne has just done. So you guys don't know this because... I'm talking to the listeners as much as anything here. People don't know that, like, me and Cheyenne sends me 83 messages a day, right? And, like, you know, Cheyenne does a lot of the writing on the site, and we've only just started to get him on the podcast, but he'll be doing more of the podcast. I reckon I have seen him or heard him talk about Mahela's 9,000 runs in Asia more than I have heard my daughter say, I love you.
Wow. Sounds like something Cheyenne would do.
Yeah, he loves that stat. It's his favorite.
I don't know if Cheyenne fans, I think he speaks about 10,000 words to me on WhatsApp daily. So,
he's basically most of his writing is WhatsApp. He just occasionally writes an article.
Yeah, I think wasn't it you who once said that like we write more than like 3,000 words just on WhatsApp messages daily?
Exactly. When
you were like, you want to write a 3,000 word essay or something?
Yeah. Yeah. When we bring in Cheyenne, never sleeps.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And I think I never sleep. And every time I message him, he's up. So it's weird. Anyway.
If you need your pitch change, well, NordVPN can doctor any surface to a new location so that your IP address is set for you to win. Want to watch a game on a free stream in another hemisphere? Give NordVPN the ball. Or if you just want to watch a clip on social media that a cricket board won't allow, promote NordVPN to pinch hit. So if you need a VPN, go Nord. Use nordvpn.com/Kimber to get a 2-year contract with a discount, plus 4 extra months and gifts in some markets. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. The link is in the show notes. Protect your computer like a bowler protects the boundaries in the death overs with nordvpn.com/Kimber today.
I don't know if this batter does belong here. I'll be completely honest. I just added him because I heard so much about him. Gundappa Vishwanath versus Clive Lloyd.
I mean, were tasked with a hard job of picking 14 batters who essentially
just to be clear, I think Jared spent years of research on this. I had like spent like, 20 minutes coming up with 14 batters. Most of it was from your long list, but I was like, I'll just add some vibes, picks.
I've heard a lot about him as well, but I don't think like anyone will have him up over here. Because I've got Lloyd.
Oh, Daddy Lloyd.
Yep. Oh, Super Cat, of course.
Yeah. His bat was called Big Bertha, right?
Was it?
Yeah, his bat was like £3, 4 ounces. So it's almost an extra pound more than Bradman's.
Oh.
Like it was just.
How much do
like,
modern bats weigh?
So most players like lighter bats now, but because players are stronger. They've kind of swung a little bit back towards slightly heavier bats. So I think Gaia was about £3, maybe one or two would be one of the more heavy ones. You don't get many players now who go under about 2.7, 2.8, only because the bat, you can get more wood in a bat that's light now.
Yeah, yeah. It's the bigger bats lighter, right? They're less dense than what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe. So they want to be able to swing it faster. So you want light, but dense, I think I think you're right. It's also to do with the wood. The wood is drier, so it goes a little bit different. But Lloyd is incredible.
2.8 is the most popular weight right now, currently, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, I think that's probably about it. 2.8, 2.9, 2.10. And that hasn't changed all that much. It just, it either goes slightly heavier in one era or slightly lighter in other eras, right? And depending on everything else. Vishwanath, I think, was a great player, right? We did briefly have a look at him just to have a look. He's another player who averages almost 50 at home and in the 30s away.
I just know that he's like one of those, like I hear this all the time, like all his centuries didn't result in a defeat or something. It's either draw or wins. That's all I remember of him.
Oh, is it?
We could have a look at that. When he won matches, he averaged 49. And when he lost matches, he averaged 51. So, 10 hundreds in draws. You're right. He never lost a game that he made 100 in, which is interesting. And averaging about the same in wins as a draw is good, I think. Yeah. There's a lot of those old players.
Result games are very good, right? Even in losses.
There's a couple of players that we didn't vote up because of their runs that they got in draws. Especially,
I reckon one of them is on this list.
Definitely. Look, so I think he was great, but I'm just remembering my notes on him. And by that, I mean, I'm reading off my notes on him. He didn't make runs in New Zealand, Pakistan, and the West Indies. He was okay in England and okay in Australia. But it really is. So in some ways, his record holds up, but he didn't make runs. If you think about during his career, Pakistan was starting to become a good team. New Zealand weren't the great team at that stage. And against New Zealand, I'm assuming that's mostly Hadley. So those are three of the better bowling attacks he probably had to go up against, and he didn't quite handle them, right? So a fantastic player and definitely a great of the game, but he's not better than whoever it was we put through in this round.
Super Cat.
Clive Lloyd.
That's right. That dude.
Okay.
Yeah, again, I think this matchup is probably going to be too early as well. Andy Flower versus Ken Barrington.
Oh, dude. You just hate, like, small nations.
Honestly, I feel like we are finally about to get our first split. It won't be unanimous with this one. Because these guys have done nine times.
It's been unanimous every game now.
You know, they'll know the right answer. And yeah, it is a split. I went for Andy Flower.
Ken Barrington goes through?
Yes. It's a shame that Andy Flower has to go out this soon.
I'm just going to give you a spoiler. You're going to hate the next matchup as well.
We went through it. I think he plays one test against Australia, doesn't he? And maybe a couple against England. He was incredible against India. I talked to a lot of people about him and they were like, Jared, you have no idea how good this guy was. Like, I'm talking about players who went up against him. Jimmy Adams just went on and on about Andy Flower. Yeah. And like, he did it in a way where he's just trying not to slag off every other Zimbabwean in batter, but he was, right? And here's my fun fact. I was actually talking, people were asking me about the book last night and I was with, some cricket writers. And I said, I think he's one of the ones that definitely deserves to be very high up. And it's because Cheyenne might remember this. I think his median entry point was 62 for three.
Yeah.
So he basically went in every time under a collapse. And my funnest thing about that was it wasn't even a quick collapse. That team took about 30 overs to get to 62 for three. Yeah. Right. Like they just couldn't, no one, Campbell, his brother, all those guys could not hit the ball off the square. And then Andy would come in and average over 50. Like, what are we even talking about here? It's ridiculous what he managed to do in Test cricket. But Barrington's better.
Andy Flower was
a big sweeper.
Big reverse sweeper. In fact, the other day, there was an image shared on Crick Info or something in which he was sweeping with one hand. And I was like, what the hell is going on in this picture? You know? For a wicketkeeper batter to average over 50 and play for Zimbabwe and have a median entry point of 62 for three, that's why I voted for him. But you guys have knocked him out. Barrington goes through.
Andy Flower also averaged 50 for Essex.
Wow.
Yeah. And didn't he? He averaged like over 50 for Essex after in the last 3 years of his career as well. Like we actually were robbed of probably what 2 years of his prime, but from the Black Arm protest. So he could have been even better. Having said that, if he played for Zimbabwe in that time, I'm not sure how many Test matches he would have played anyway because they were kind of on their way out for many reasons. But that does remind me.
I did completely forget to include the other left-handed wicketkeeper.
Oh,
good!
Wow.
Do you know what? I can tell you why that's annoying because I think, Luke, did you see Cheyenne sit back in his chair then? That's actually all the blood going out of him because that's the player I reckon he's most upset that didn't make the top 50 list. Anyway, he's not mentioned now.
All right, so the next matchup is Gordon Greenidge versus Jawed Miazhan.
This is so unfair.
Right, I'm just going to just change my headphones. They ran out of battery.
I mean, that's fine. You can change your headphones, but you've probably pissed a few people over here. Number one.
There are some 80s kids right now listening to this podcast in audio, not on YouTube, because that's how 80s kids roll, who are just furious with Warren at the moment.
Yep. Yeah, I expected this to be unanimous in favor of Mia Dadd. But like Gordon Greenidge is another one of those cricketers that Jared talks a lot about, right? And you also mentioned, Jared, how he...
I didn't hear it.
Mia Dadd is through. Greenidge is out. Okay. It was unanimous. But you always mentioned, Jared, how Gordon Greenidge played a bit too long. And had he retired a touch earlier, his numbers would have looked better.
Weirdly, so did me and Dad. But yeah, both of these guys are on that list, right? Yeah. Look, the thing you need to understand about Greenidge is I think he's probably one of the few attacking openers who doesn't have a hole in his career against the lateral ball. Hmm. Yeah, so he can smash the ball and terrify you, but he can do it in New Zealand and England. And I'm pretty sure he would have been good in South Africa as well. And that's the thing for Greenidge with me. If you look at Hayden, Sehwag, even Trumper, they all struggled when the ball was moving laterally on those kinds of pitches. And Warner is another one, right?
Yeah.
Whereas you look at Greenidge and it's like, and I think Barry Richards talked about Greenidge in the book because they opened batting together. And he said that he was the perfect combination of English technique and West Indian thinking. Right.
Yeah,
so he got that proper technique. Yeah. Flair. That's what he said. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he said that if he played in England, he could have been boycott. But because he went back and played with the West Indies and they wanted him to expand his game, he kind of became a technically perfect player who also would smack the absolute shit out of you. Right.
It's like a hitter with the repeatability. Right. That's what he was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, he's probably more like an attacking player in the way that KP or someone is. He didn't attack when he didn't need to. Mm-hmm. Right.
Correct.
He just attacked when he needed to. And when he did, there was nothing you could do.
Yeah. So he didn't attack all the time.
He had that famous double hundred in Lords, didn't he?
That was brilliant. Yeah.
Cheyenne, did you go back and watch that?
Yeah. I've watched that.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. It really is a ridiculous inning.
Greenidge is always remembered as the aggressor, whereas Haynes is kind of the anchor batter, right? In that partnership. But anyway, he's gone now. Mia Dadd is through, and we should move on to the next matchup.
Yeah. So the first great cricketer, W.G. Grace, goes up against Bob Simpson.
Okay, well, this should be quick.
Again, I think everything has been unanimous.
I think Jared would vote us out if we came up against W.G. Grace. Like, such is the obsession with the man.
Cheyenne might remember this, but when we did the original list, it was based purely on ratios. Hmm. So we took the top 80 players in the world that we found on our metrics, and then we ranked them against each other, and then we came up with an overall number to see where they all ended up. Hmm. Simpson was really high.
Oh,
yeah. Right? Yeah. And we then went forensic on Simpson because there's something about Simpson that didn't make sense, and I couldn't work it out. I think, Sean, by the end, I didn't have him in the top 50. Did you think he deserved to be in the top 50?
I think you could make that case for him and Bill Lawrie because they also had that thing of running between the wickets, and then Bob Simpson later on became a coach as well. But I'm not sure how much that influences his batting. Purely as a batter, I think he just misses out. So,
One of the problems we had with Simpson is if you talk about people from that period, they talk up Lawrie more than Simpson.
Correct.
Simpson has the better numbers. So it's a bit of a weird one of how you process it. I think Bob Simpson was fantastic. But of course, do you know why one of the things that is so remarkable about Bob Simpson, Bayram?
What is it?
That he basically doesn't play test cricket for 10 years and then comes back.
Was he impacted by the war?
No, he retired because he wasn't making any money as a cricketer. Right. Hmm. And then he comes back hilariously because all the Packer cricketers leave the Australian team and they didn't come back.
Was that the Indian series, which is 3-2 or 2-2, one of those things? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a fantastic series. Even if And so he makes runs. And then he decides to go to the West Indies afterwards. What a mistake. Playing India at home, absolutely fine. Going to the West Indies when you're a 40-year-old man who's played one series in the last 10 years and you're going up against the West Indies. Hmm. Not ideal.
Yeah, I just wanted to say his match factor was 1.2. For Grace, it's 1.37.
Okay, so we made the right call.
Yeah, he's a weird one because if you look at it, he averages 47 as a player overall as an opener, right? He averages 47 overall, but as an opener, it's over 50. So he's actually got a very similar record to someone like Herschel Gibbs, I would say. Hmm. Whereas... Yeah. Maybe if he'd opened his whole career, Justin Langer, you could throw the three of them. Mm. Maybe they were openers who played in the wrong position for too long. And Simpson was a leg spinner. Yeah, Kwaja's Kwaja another one, right?
Yeah.
So that's true. And who knows? Rohit, you could throw in there as well. Mm. Yeah. But or maybe it's just that, yeah, it might just be that they played as an opener when they're at their best, and so it makes their numbers look a little bit better. But Simpson, but either way, I know we're not. A lot of people have Simpson very high, by the way, in their all-time lists.
But like coming up against WG Grace was always going to be a tough one for him, right?
Yeah,
and on that's this, why WG on this show, is true.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. You both would have been fine.
All right, okay.
Sometimes you just need to take the slips out and bowl defensively. And you also need to be careful with your computer's defense as well. If you need a VPN, go Nord. NordVPN.com/Kimber to get a 2-year contract with a discount, plus 4 extra months and gifts in some markets. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. The link is in the show notes. So put in some dot balls and turn them into maidens via NordVPN.com/Kimber.
So the next one is Yunus Khan versus Mike Hussey.
Ooh, this is tough. This is a proper head scratcher.
It isn't.
It isn't, yeah.
That's what I was really? Pretty, is Hussey's record not like super good in Test cricket?
I'll give you a spoiler. Hussey's not in the book, so.
Oh, I would have imagined his average to be over.
He's
50.
In the book, but he's not on the list.
He's in the book. He's not in the list. Yeah. Here's my issue with Hussey. How do you compare him to, as we talked about, how do you compare him to Yunus Khan? Who, what, I mean, I know we don't know what age Yunus Khan played at, but Yunus Khan comes into a test team in his early 20s and he finishes when he's 83, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. He plays all the way through and has to play test cricket. Mike Hussey is dropped in his mid-20s from Western Australia.
True.
So how do you compare the two of them? I think that there's two players that didn't make our final list who I think have the argument of being two of the best players of all time in their 30s, but neither of those players are particularly good in their 20s. And so in one case, you've got Hussey's not even in the side, right? And then on the other side, you've got these other players who are having to battle through their 20s, learning their game at the test level in a way that he never had to do. I still think Mike Hussey is great. As I said, I don't think that says he's not a great batter, but he just didn't get over the line for me. Shyam, would you have had him in the top 50?
No, not in the top 50, simply because he had that thing which even Matthew Hayden did, right? Like they didn't play their entire, they debuted, but actually Hussey debuted a little later. But let's say when they started their professional career, if they had to play for like say 15 years from the age of 20 to the age of 35, for instance, that is way different from starting your career in your peak, like at the age of 27, 28. Like, for instance, you can take Surya Kumar Yadav in T20 cricket. Like, he has started, he became a regular in the Indian team at the age of what, 31, 32?
I think it was 30,
sometime
right?
around that. That is just different when you're coming in at your best, it's different.
And how do you compare that to Virat, who had to play T20 cricket when he was 20, 21, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, T20 cricket wasn't involved.
Yeah, see, Virat fans video.
Exactly.
Like
that. Yeah. So I think that's the thing with Hussey, and his is such an extreme case, Bayram. Also, I actually think most people sleep on Yunus Khan. I just think he's way better than people think he is.
He is the only Pakistan batter to get 10,000 test runs, and he has 100 in every venue, or not venue, but country every that he country. Played, which is also phenomenal. Yeah, that's my favorite Yunus Khan.
I also think this is where I think you guys should explain that Jared and Cheyenne look at batters differently than I think casual fans do. Because I think casual fans would have Hussey way higher than you guys do for the peak reasons, right?
I would have imagined Hussey to have had an amazing peak in that short little while where he was really good. But then again,
his entire career was his peak, the Baram. That's the thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's it. But Yunus has a slump in the middle of it, though. 20 or 17-year career, right? There's a lot of longevity over there. He also has a test triple done. So, now I think he's not a head scratcher.
I think he has 2 years, Hussey, where he averages about 35. Right?
In the middle, I think.
Yeah, if he averages 45 in that, I think it's very hard to say there's any flaw in his record and even everything that me and Sean have said. But what Varun just said is the best thing that you need to remember. Most fans just look at averages. If Mike Hussey had started playing at the same age as Yunus Khan did and played all the way through, I think Mike Hussey would have averaged way less than Yunus Khan, right?
True.
That doesn't mean he wasn't specifically better in Test cricket, but We're looking at all the factors. And if you're like, oh, Mike Hussey should be fine higher, and you're nitpicking, we're nitpicking because all these players are great. We haven't named a player yet who isn't great. Right? They're just all great. Even the ones who are fringes are great players.
Yes.
Even Usman Khawaja.
I think this might be a head-scratcher, right?
Of course.
Yeah,
the next one is going to be a head-scratcher. It's a friend of Jared's, actually. Martin Crowe versus the former Australian skipper, Steve Waugh.
Okay.
Now, am I allowed to look at the list?
No.
I suppose you're not allowed to look at anything. Man, I don't even think I have the right answer for this, but I've got something.
Baron, don't put your answer up yet.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to do the whole 3-2-1 thing.
So, right, no, not yet, Jared. That bloody hell. So put it up.
Yep.
No, Steve Waugh.
Everyone's gone for Steve Waugh. I mean, Martin Crowe again. Is it mostly
because... I can tell you
I'd
rather watch.
Yeah. Plus, like, you know, he played his home cricket in New Zealand on difficult wickets. Maybe that's why the average doesn't look as good.
Also, again, like...
Steve Waugh also has longevity.
Also, what we were just discussing before, starts very young when he was not very good because he's placed for New Zealand.
True.
But the thing is that so did Steve Waugh.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
So that actually makes this one tricky because Steve Waugh was picked because of his bowling and he was nowhere near test level batter for a little while, which you might be able to say about someone like Bob Simpson as well, who we were mentioning before. The thing is, and Cheyenne, I said to Cheyenne, how do we get Martin Crowe higher? And we did everything we could, not just because he was a friend of mine, but also because I do think he's a really important player in the history of cricket.
Yeah.
But the truth is that his knee injury and his body falling apart at the end of his career, he was such a good player. If he didn't lose his fitness and his athleticism, I actually think he would have averaged 45 for the last 4 or 5 years of his career and would have been remembered as an all-time great, right? And he's just below that level because he doesn't get the bump into his late 30s in the way that Steve Waugh did, right? And I think that's the difference. If you were picking a player tomorrow to watch or to impact a game, you would pick Martin Crowe 10 times out of 10. But if you look at their overall test records, I just don't think there's a comparison here. Yeah. I think
so Steve Waugh
is the better player.
Averages 30.5 after 26 tests.
Yeah.
Yeah, he makes 127 not out and his average goes up by 5, by the way, funnily enough.
Also, on Martin Crowe, whenever Wasim Akram is asked who was the toughest batter he bowled to, he always mentions Martin Crowe's name because he figured out how to counter reverse swing.
Again, it's one of those things where it's the stupidest thing when he's like, if we're like a non-cricket fan to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so Alex Tudor plays against Martin Crowe when Martin Crowe's like in his 40s, right? And Alex Tudor's like a young fast bowler for England. And Alex Tudor still talks about playing against Martin Crowe in a friendly. Of like, he just could not believe that someone that age could be that good. And that, you know, that he wasn't like, he was bowling to Viv Richards, right? Or you know, Sachin Tendulkar. He talks about Martin Crowe like that. And I think that if you talk to bowlers, a lot of them have that story. He's just a next level player. But he didn't quite have the longevity of some of the other players. I think he has a period for about 5 or 6 years where he averages 60 in Test cricket. And if his body hadn't started to crumble, I reckon, as I said, he could have gone on to average quite a bit for the next 4 or 5 years. But he never gets that period. And because of that, unfortunately, I said, we're nitpicking greatness. It's very unfair. Yeah. And Steve Waugh, we will be nitpicking Steve Waugh in the next round. Do you know what I mean? That's how this works.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So
the next matchup?
Victim. Sorry.
Victim, yes.
It's
Inzamam Ul Haq versus Jack Hobbs.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talk about doing Inzi dirty, Varun.
Yeah. Indeed.
Yeah, he'll have to go over here.
Hobbs goes through? Yeah.
I mean, he does go through, but I'm waiting to see what Cheyenne is doing. It's taking a long time to write this down.
It's not a...
Oh, wow.
So... I was like
waiting too long for you to write two letters, man.
Yeah. I was thinking, he's either going to write Inzi or Hobbs. Like, why is he taking him so long?
Exactly.
To write on
and
that
he
phone.
Was writing JH, which is not even as long as Hobbs, but anyway.
Dude, the thing is, I'm writing Hobbs, but it's so difficult to write on my phone. I just had to switch it back to JH. Yeah.
Jack Hobbs was
two initials for you, Nafanad.
Yeah, I think
he averaged. Jack Hobbs averaged about 50 plus as an opener, and Inzi. I mean, he is one of the most important players Pakistan have ever had, but he's not the best test batter Pakistan have had, right? And if he had not played that World 11 test match, he would have averaged 15 test cricket as well. Okay. But then again, just done dirty by the matchup, I feel. Inzi would have beaten a lot of people for me.
Yeah. Definitely.
I remember, I'm pretty sure I say this in the book, that for me, Inzi is the last automatic great on this list. Hmm. Right, so on the top 50. Where I don't think you can make a case that he can't be in the top 50 best batters of all time. Right?
Hmm.
Everyone behind him on that list, I think there's a case or an argument, or you might be like, oh, maybe Jared's being too friendly, or, you know, the numbers say this, but the feels say that, or whatever. Inzi, for me, is an automatic great. It just happens to be that he's going up against someone who either made 197 first-class hundreds or 199 first-class hundreds and was averaging over 50 in a period where averaging 35 was seen as a very good career.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, then. Inzi, Hobbs goes through.
Yeah, so next one, I just realized this again might be too early for this. So Greg Chappell versus Graham Smith.
Oh, man. I mean, that's a tough one, but one of those really great players is about to go out. I've made my choice.
Let's do it.
Three, two, one. Oh, a split. And Biff is Smith.
Smith goes through?
No, he's out.
No.
Those guys chose Greg Chappell.
Chappell goes through.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Chappelli is through and Biff has been eliminated.
That's not Chappelli. Chappelli's the other Chappell.
Oh, right. Chappelli's the other
Chappell. Yeah, Chappelli's other one, right.
This is the Chappell that India hates.
Okay. This is what I was going to say. This is the narrative round that Varun has picked, right? Because you've got Greg Chappell, who is undoubtedly a great batter and also missed out on about 10 test matches when he played World Series cricket, where he also averaged over 60 in World Series cricket, I think, or around 60 anyway. And then you've got Smith, who is remembered as a captain, not as a batter, despite the fact he was fantastic. Smith never conquered his home pitches. If Smith had averaged like 45, 46, 47 at home, he would have a much higher record. But he averaged, is it 42 at home?
41 at home, I think. Yeah, 41.
For a guy who averages 48 overall.
Yeah.
So what was he doing on the road? That is a ridiculous number.
Yeah,
didn't
South Africa have like a bunch of batters at one point who are all better away from home?
They probably didn't lose a series for like 8 years, didn't they?
Yeah, because you can get any other batters out away from home.
Yeah. Look, I'm a big fan of Smith, and I was when he played. I think there's some holes in his career, but being an opener who managed to make so many runs away from home in the way that he did, I think is pretty spectacular. I think he was a fantastic
cricketer.
I think
he's an automatic great for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
He was super young, Graham Smith, when he came onto the scene, and he smashed England, right?
Exactly.
So there's that as well.
Yeah, I think Nassau sent Robson on one of those tests, and he gets a double 100.
Yeah. 277, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, you guys have knocked him out.
Yeah. So the next one is Alan Border versus Virender Sehwag.
So two very contrasting styles of players.
I know we would rather watch more.
Yeah.
Different playing styles.
Different Twitter accounts.
I'll tell you like why
I think the one common thing is both of them are quite open with what they say.
Yeah.
Yes, I'll give him that. I'll give both of them.
True.
That.
Yeah. Oh, right. So Viru's gone. It's unanimous. Everyone has gone for Border.
I was not expecting that this early, I'll be honest.
I went for Border is because Jared always mentions how he was really damn good versus that West Indies team.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
And there's a gritty player who will, you know, wear a few balls on the shoulder or on his body, whereas Sehwag is just like, he will flay you. But then Sehwag does struggle versus the moving ball, right? Lateral movement is kind of his kryptonite. So made sense to go for Border.
Yeah. Does Border average over 50 away and at home, Sean?
Yeah. He does.
I mean, you know what I mean? There aren't many players in the history of the game that managed to do that. And he did it in a low-scoring era, right? Like the 80s was not a high-scoring era.
Also,
and he also
very
did it.
Good for Australian team, right?
No, for most of it, they were rubbish. No. I mean, he comes into the team when they're World Series cricket. He turns them into the other team, right? Mm. And a lot of it, he's the, like, him and Boone, a little bit of Dean Jones, are like the only world-class players that they have. Like, we think about Australia, if you go back in the 80s, there was so little batting talent. And, you know, guys like Greg Ritchie would play lots of test matches. Greg Matthews played as a bowler because he could bat right? Like Greg Matthews, I think averages like 40 with the bat in Test cricket, and almost averages 50 with the ball, right? Mm. Like they were so bad as a team, and Border just carries them, and it's just hit in the head consistently by the West Indies. Sehwag is Sehwag, right? Like we all know who he is, and I don't think this is the channel where we could ever be accused of not being pro Sehwag. I think we are the most pro. I started a religion based on Sehwag, so I think we're on safe ground here.
Yeah. Also, I mean, look at the names that have gone out in the first round: Rahul Dravid, Virendra Sehwag, and Zamamul Haq. Who else? Herbert Sutcliffe, right? Martin Crowe. So
Sutcliffe go out. I can't
Graham Smith. it's almost inevitable at this point that some of these guys will have to kind of go in the first round.
You make it seem like I just hate Asian batters.
Varun is your enemy.
Yeah, you make it seem like I just hate Indian and Pakistani batters at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you were saying off air.
This is brought to you by Cricket 8. They are a new player in the game trying to educate fans on what is really happening in cricket. We have a partnership with them where we host live watch-alongs, do podcasts and write articles. If you want to know what is really happening with our game, visit cricket8.com.
So the next one is Len Hutton versus Dean Jones.
You've killed Jared.
You put Dino on here.
Yeah.
Completely random. I was like, oh, his average is okay. So I'll just put him on here.
For his era, it's a really good average.
One of those guys, Jared, grew up idolizing. The other one, he is most like now with his shortened elbow or whatever.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
So unanimously, we've sent Len Hutton through, just for the audio listeners. if you were confused.
So Dean Jones is fascinating because he makes two tests, double hundreds, one against the West Indies. Right, the proper West Indies. It was a road because I think Merv Hughes made 70 in that game, but he still makes it against the proper West Indies. And he makes the double hundred that he almost dies from in India. But he doesn't play that much Test cricket. And he's largely dropped because Australia has this incredible middle order where they have Steve Waugh, Alan Border, and they want to get Mark Waugh in so they have even more all-round ability. And plus, Mark Waugh was also a fantastic player. And so Dean Jones gets squeezed out because I think he played a little bit at first drop, but it never quite suited him, or he didn't feel comfortable there. I can't remember the full story. And David Boone moves to first drop. So there's just no spot for him in that team. And if you think about the next generation gets even stronger. I would argue that Dean Jones was a better player in his 30s than he was in his 20s. So we never even saw the best of him in Test cricket. He was way better. I saw him make a triple century at the MCG in a Shield game against an orange ball. Right, when they were trialing different colour balls.
So, like, he has
I couldn't even see the ball and he was still making runs. And he was, like, 40 at the time.
Yeah, so I was going to ask, like, do you know how you were saying, like, he did have a reputation of being selfish in white ball cricket? Did that play into his red ball exclusion as well?
Okay. So, he's passed now. Dean Jones is very much a Kevin Peterson type of person.
Okay.
Right? And I think he rubbed people up the wrong way. Look. What I'll say is this. He was captain of Victoria and he was my hero as a kid. And as I learned more about him as a leader, I didn't like him that much.
Yeah, like,
and it was because of his personality and the way he treated people. I got on really well with him personally, but he said some of the most ridiculous things a human... You know the Hashim Amla quote, right?
Yeah, of course, there's the Hashim Amla quote. But he kind of recovered from that, right? Like in a weird way. Yeah. Like, he ends up being this... PSL cult hero like Viv Richards is as well, which was weird. Yeah,
but if you hung around with Dino, he would say things like that all the time. Like, I've got so many stories of people meeting Dean Jones and him saying something really, really offensive.
Yeah, you know, it's impressive to be too arrogant for 90s Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. True. It's not even just arrogance. I think he did wind people up really easily. He was a fantastic test player. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And it's a real shame that he didn't get to play more test matches. As I said, probably when he reaches his peak as well. But it's a random pool. I like that pool, Varun, especially when you left off some other people. I'll be interesting to see who else you've left off, because I think there's someone else you've left off.
He's gunning for a raise over here, Jared. That's all he's doing. Intentionally putting Dino in there.
Yeah, so the next one is two people I actually don't think are in the book. Justin Langer and Michael Clark.
Where is the Stell? I need a Stell for this
one. Are they in the book?
Lots of people are in the book. They're mentioned in the book.
Yeah. Okay, so are we, like, on this boat, are we going for, like, perseverance or talent?
Up to
What's
you.
What's the metric?
It's up to you.
Who's the better
It's a subjective
batter,
metric, isn't it?
Yeah, who's the better batter?
Who is the better test batter? Is all you, that is the only thing. You have to work out what that means to you, Bayra.
Okay.
All right. Go.
Oh. Wow. JL goes. JL has been eliminated. And
I think this is the first time I've seen Jared say something nice about JL.
Yeah, I went for aesthetics over like pure grit over here.
Okay. So we'll get to Clark in a minute because I think that that's the first time me and Cheyenne are split in this entire thing so far. Right. And I think Clark is one of the players.
Oh, we have had splits, sorry. Yeah.
No, we've had splits. But we've also, had splits, Varun, but the fact that Michael Clark is going through and the likes of Rahul Dravid, Inzi, Herbert Sutcliffe, all of those guys are out. This is on you.
Sehwag's out.
Yeah, Sehwag's out.
I think what Langer managed to do, so he starts off in a period where it's really tough to play test cricket and he's not ready to play test cricket. And he comes back, and if you look at his stats purely as an opener, I really do think he had one of the more amazing careers of all time. Hmm. Both of them play in the great batting era, so both of their numbers are inflated, all things considered, right? Which is one of the reasons they don't make our top 50. But I just think that Langer is purely as an opener for that 7-8 year period that he does it. I think that's a much harder job than Michael Clark batting at number five. If you're a number five in a great batting era, you only need to be an average player.
Yeah.
You're going to average high 40s just by being a good player, right? Like in some of those, is it Simon Kadich's numbers? I think in the test matches he played, the top six averaged like 41 or something ridiculous, right? So if you're batting down the order, Langer still had to do it at the top. Hmm. And that's the difference I have between the two of them. Maybe Clark still had the better career. The end of Clark's career before his back goes is miraculous. Yeah. And it's the player he always should have been. Purely on talent, there is no argument here.
So side note, would you say Langer is better than Usman?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
I think...
Very similar.
Khwaja had to play in the pace-playing pandemic.
Yeah, that's what I would probably go with the fact that I think also his game is a bit more variable than Langer's as well. But I don't think there's much between them. Honestly, if we're just talking as openers, I don't think there's a great deal between the two of them. But yeah, I think I would go Uzi just over JL. Anyway, that's the weirdest round you've given me for my history in cricket.
Yeah, this has gone on for so long, though.
Honestly,
we haven't got past the first round yet.
Yeah, we're not even in the round of 16, and it's an hour and 6 minutes into this podcast. It's going to be longer than the audiobook.
Yeah. So the next one is Kevin Peterson versus George Hedley.
Okay. This should be pretty straightforward.
I think I can guess what Cheyenne's going to write.
I think we're all going to write the same thing. Have you read Overthrowing Cricket Senpai?
Me? I don't read books.
Oh, okay. Well, for those of you who haven't read the book. So it is unanimous.
Cheyenne, I'm surprised. I thought you love Hedley. KP.
Hedley goes through, KP goes out.
I love Sehwag too, right?
I'm a massive KP fan as well. You just need to read the West Indies chapter from that book, dude. Seriously.
No, okay.
That's all it comes down to.
I did a big interview the other day with Simon Hughes and Simon Mann. In fact, we did two podcasts on the book. And I think that I was surprised that there wasn't more pushback about KP. I think that's going to be one of the more controversial top 50 batters that we have picked. But me and Cheyenne both love him. And his ability to change a game is almost unparalleled. Like it really is one of the... You know, he's an S-tier ability to change your cricket game. Yeah. And we saw him do it so many times. I just don't know how you don't put that in. Don't give him a bonus. Even though he probably doesn't average as much as Michael Clark. I just think he had, in that similar era, I just think he had a much bigger impact.
I mean, even the style of play, it was so like butchering, right? Like he would dominate. Yeah. He would be on top of you. And you would really feel the heat when KP was out there.
Can I tell you a great story? Australia, 2013, 2014, when he was almost finished, they put in a short mid-wicket to him, right? They put in two short mid-wickets. Something like that. I can't remember the fielding position, but certainly there was a short mid-wicket field. And the idea was for Siddle to bowl at the top of middle and off stump, and then KP was going to flick it. And they were like, and every time he'd flick it, they go, ooh, And he'd be like, you think I'm afraid of this? I'm going to hit the shot all day. I don't care if you've got a fielder there. I'm just going to hit it there. That's just the mindset that he had. It was just like, how dare you even think that this would change me for a moment, right? And even when he got caught playing that shot and Australia got in his head, he's like, I'm still going to keep playing that shot. You're not going to get to me. It's just a completely different mindset that other players had, which I find fascinating.
No. I think he has played
two or three of the best knocks that we've seen in like the last 15 years or so. Like, I'm not saying top two, three, but two or three of his knocks would be among the top 15 or top 20 knocks of the last few years. I would say that
one carry
innings. Then that 149 that he made in Lords versus South Africa against peak Dale Steyn. Then after that, he also had this really good innings in Colombo, right? So like,
And you're not including the 2005 Ashes.
Exactly, yeah, the Oval Test.
And the Headingley one, it's not easy being me. He has so many knocks where he just goes absolutely nuts, right? If you compare him to someone like VVS Laxman, who I also think is an all-time great, he averages more than VVS Laxman. And I think he has more of those games that he just changes the game so quickly. Hmm. Whereas even with VVS, as good as VVS was, it took a period of time. Mm-hmm. And KP's just like, it's them or me. And quite often, he was the winner.
He does give me number five energy for some reason. I don't know. I don't think he's a number four.
I don't know.
I think he bats at five.
He wanted to bat five. They made him into a number four.
Yeah. So I actually think he was playing now. He hit out a strike rate similar to Brook. That's my hot take.
Exactly.
Yep, agreed.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Certified great KP, but not good enough to knock the Black Bradman off his perch.
Yeah. Again, like you guys' ability to guess the next batter is actually remarkable in the matchup. So it's Vangipirappu Venkatesai Lakshman versus Graham Thorpe.
Oh, both of them. Okay.
How did those two get each other?
Yeah. This is so random. Varun, you really needed to put more work in this draw, man.
I did it at some point. I just like
also, damn, that was pretty good, dude. I did not know that was how you said his full name.
Yeah, it's from my ends. Of course, I can say his name.
I'm not even sure I've ever heard his full name said before.
Yeah,
yep. Anyway, and we are all unanimous on VVS.
VVS goes through.
Very, very special. Knocks Thorpe out. Also, rest in peace, Graham Thorpe.
Yeah, again, one of the better batters. Just a spoiler for everyone again.
Yeah, but one of the better batters for England in that woeful period during the 90s, right? Where they wouldn't win anything. He was still out there scoring
for the
runs.
Number five video we were doing, he just kept coming up.
Yeah.
I don't think there's much between them, but I just think that probably VVS had the more iconic. I think VVS could change an entire test match, whereas I think Thorpe would help you in a test match. I think if you go through their record, there's not much between it, I would assume. They would have averaged around the same as each other. And I've said this before, Graham Thorpe is massively underrated. And if anything, VVS is overrated, not for a bad reason, but because he's played some of those great innings. But he's overrated when you look at his overall record. They're very lucky to get each other, considering Sutcliffe got Sobers. And VVS gets Thorpe.
Rahul Dravid got the Dawn. Okay.
All right. Yeah. So the next one is Muhammad Yusuf versus Viv Richards.
Again. See, you could have had Michael Clarke go out early and one of these guys to survive a bit more. Now you've also ruined Moyo or his chances.
Anyway. Look, did Moyo just make it in the end, Jared? Because I remember for a while you didn't have him.
Made it in.
Yeah.
Jared was quite confused between him and Syed Anwar as well. It's just that Moyo played for longer and had that year. If you take that year out of Mohammad Yusuf's career, then he probably doesn't enter the conversation, does he?
No.
Mm-hmm. I think I'll be changing this list for the rest of my life, right?
Yeah.
we'll be putting modern players in, but also I think... You know, me and Cheyenne are still talking about the list, even though it's finished and it's in friggin' print, right? Like, I can show it to you here. It's in front of me, right? I don't know if I'll always have him in my top 50. And I did struggle with him more than anything. And I was talking to Lawrence Booth, the editor of Wisden, last night at a book launch. And, we were talking about him compared to other players that weren't in the list. There were days when he wasn't in the list. There were days when he was in the list. And I just kept chopping and changing. Yeah. And I still think he's a great player. I just don't, I don't know. I never felt quite solid with a player like him, Mojo. But yeah, you've done him a bit dirty here.
Yeah.
But having said that, I don't think he deserved to make it to the second round.
Because if he's barely made the list, does he not
deserve to? No, you're right. You did do him dirty.
Yeah, that's also fair.
I didn't know a lot of people dirty.
And Herbert Suckler's dirty.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you had Mojo versus Pop, for instance, right? Mm. Like, Mojo was probably going through unanimously.
Yeah.
And I mean, I feel like it's kind of ironic as well that you had Mojo versus Viv because Mojo broke Viv's record of most runs in a calendar year and most centuries in a calendar year. So that's ironic. And Viv has gone through, obviously, unsurprisingly. But yeah, I mean, honestly, I feel like the chaos is about to kind of encapsulate this entire podcast here on.
So finally, after it's about like time. About 75 years, Sachin Tendulkar appears on the list. He goes up against Rohan Kanai.
Ooh.
I guess so. Oh, really? Yeah.
This could go either
Jared?
Way.
Could it?
Yeah, this could go either way.
Okay, well, let's get this over with.
All right.
I think it's important to know, I really rate Kanai highly.
Hmm.
Sorry, Gavaskar, right?
Yeah, and I think he doesn't get the credit he deserves for the fact that everyone behind him in the batting order made so many runs.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and he doesn't end up averaging 50, whereas all those other guys either average closer to 50 than him or just over 50.
Hmm.
I don't think he was any worse than any of those other players at all. I think he is a forgotten great, Rohan Kanai, and I'm a massive fan of him. But yeah, obviously, if you're picking a short top, top order player, probably going with Sachin over Rohan.
I mean, Sachin probably wins this one unanimously 365 days out of 365, right? But my maternal grandfather, he used to have stories about Rohan Kanai, watching him in the flesh. And, you know, he was a big cricket person. And the fact that I listened to those stories when I was young and knew Rohan Kanai's name tells you that he probably was a forgotten great. Anyway, Sachin's through. Let's move on. And finally, after a marathon first round in this Good Areas knockout, we have decided to call it for today, at least for this episode. So you can go to goodareas.co and bookmark that webpage. That can prove to be your best one-stop shop for all the work that we do as part of this team, whether it be written content, videos, or podcasts. And we'll be covering the remainder of the rounds for this particular knockout episode in part two. So that's all for now, guys. See you. Have a good one. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bairam Kazi and Estelle Vasudevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.